Well, we're asking the question this morning, is Christmas just for kids? Well, I'm 40 now, so I'm kind of hoping it isn't. But each year I do find I'm quite involved with children's activities. I was at a birthday party yesterday for a 9-year-old, happened to be my son. And there was 15 other kids there, and we were at Forest Hill Shopping Centre in Time Zone, and they were doing laser tag and all of that. And I'm more or less of a bystander, and thinking, well, it's Christmas season, time for end of year social activities and parties and Christmas trees and all of that. And is it all just for kids? Well, as adults stand by looking on. Well, Alan Walker, who is a psychologist, decided to write a post on this on Psychology Today. And she says, no, Christmas isn't just for kids. She says, Christmas is a time of joy for all. And she views Christmas as a holiday that has religious meaning for some, but can be enjoyed for the many other things it represents. And she outlines four particular favourite reasons she has why Christmas isn't just for kids. And now she's an American living in the Pacific Northwest, and so she mentions the arrival of the winter solstice. And that doesn't mean much to us in Australia, but the upshot of the winter solstice is longer days. And so we would just substitute daylight saving. Christmas is a great time for all ages, she says, essentially because we get longer days. And I can get around that. I really do appreciate the change in the weather, the longer late afternoons into the evening, spending time with the family, perhaps driving all the way from here down to the beach. You can have a wonderful time as the weather gets warmer and the days get longer. Second reason she gives is it's a time to enjoy wonderful foods. I wonder if your Christmas feasting has already started just a little bit earlier this year. Anyone want to confess they've already indulged a fruit mince pie, perhaps? They walked into Woolworths and got waylaid by those Christmas goodies just sitting there waiting to be taken by hungry shoppers. Or perhaps you've already planned out your Christmas lunch or dinner. The St. Alfred staff had a wonderful time at the annual staff dinner, in which the recipe is the same every year. Peter and Ginny McPherson put on a wonderful spread, and none of the staff want it to be changed. We want it to remain exactly the same every year because it's just a wonderful feast for us. And that one's just for the adults. The kids have to stay home if you want any proof that Christmas is not just for kids. Well, a third reason that Alan gives is it's a time to express gratitude to friends. She says the holiday season's a wonderful time to slow down and enjoy getting together with our favourite people for a meal, a drink, or dessert. It's a time to express appreciation for services done and for friendships, both of which we tend to take for granted during the rest of the year. I got great pleasure from watching our two pet sitters open their cards to find extra holiday cash and seeing the face of my next door neighbour when I arrived with a plate of treats. You never know how much it means to another person when you express gratitude in a simple way at the end of the year around Christmas time. It might be some relatively thankless task that they performed for you or for your church or community over the course of the year, and you just send them a card or take them out for a coffee or just some simple way of expressing gratitude. Christmas is a wonderful time to do that, and obviously not just for kids, but for all of us. And Ellen's final reason is the music is amazing. I don't know. I think maybe you either love or you hate Christmas music. I just want to put that out there in case anyone's sitting there thinking, if I hear that certain top 40 Christmas hit on the radio one more time, I'm going to have a meltdown. But holiday music can be great. I find it very evocative. There are certain carols that I just love singing. There are certain secular Christmas tunes that I love hearing. And there's something about that annual cycle that I do find refreshing and joyful. And if you're looking for a late night carol service on Christmas Eve, do come to St. Alfred's at 10:30 p.m. But you'll want to get there much earlier to get a seat because we pack it out to, well, around 500 people, and you can come along and sing the best of the Christian Christmas carols that evening. And that one's for the whole family. Mark's already outlined all of our services that we have going. So these are really just common sense reasons why Christmas is not just for kids. They're just reasons why us adults might want to re-engage. Perhaps you're a more introverted person like I am, and you approach Christmas with some foreboding. There are great reasons here to re-engage in ways that suit your personality, in ways that suit your temperament and capacity to engage with Christmas for the benefit of other people and also for your own refreshment. But as Christians, while we can agree with all of these reasons, and we could add more, there's one big reason that makes sense to all the other reasons why Christmas isn't just for kids. And it's simply this, that Christmas is about Jesus. And Jesus is not just for kids. Jesus is for everyone. And there are three ways that I'm going to bring out from those fairly long and in some ways complex passages that we heard read just now. Three ways, and they are that Jesus brings satisfaction. And secondly, Jesus brings forgiveness. And thirdly, and related to forgiveness, Jesus brings salvation. So first of all, Jesus brings satisfaction. We heard from Isaiah 55, verses 1 there, to verses 1 and 2, I'll read again to you. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. The things of this life are good. The things I mentioned before, relationships, material things, health, wealth, and prosperity, as much as we enjoy it, these things are good and they should be enjoyed. But let's not expect more from wisdom or pleasure or work or friends even than they can give. They give temporary enjoyment, but cannot give lasting satisfaction. There's an anecdote on the great novelist Leo Tolstoy, who wrote some of the greatest literature that we know. But he actually rejected Christianity as a child. And he went on a great quest in search for meaning. And he left university and he sought to get as much pleasure out of life as he could. And he threw himself into the party scene in Moscow and St. Petersburg, drinking, doing all the things that you might expect, leading a wild life. But he didn't find that satisfying. And so then he became ambitious for money. And he had inherited a lot, an estate, and he made a large amount of money out of his books that he published. But he found that didn't satisfy either. So he thought, well then, what about success? What about getting a great reputation as a great writer? Well, he achieved that. He achieved it to a far greater extent than anyone could hope. And yet he was still left asking the question, well, so what? What does it all mean? And he had no answer. So then he became ambitious for family, more ambitious than most of us, because he got married and he had 13 children. And he did say that those actually distracted him from his great quest to find the overall meaning of life. And yet it still didn't satisfy his deepest urges, his deepest needs. And he actually got to the verge of taking his own life. And he asked the question, is there any meaning in my life which will not be annihilated by the death which awaits me? He still went on searching. He searched in science and philosophy. He didn't find the answers he was looking for there. And finally, he returned to the Christian faith of his childhood, which he found again among a peasant community in where was that community? Yes, it was just Russia's peasant community, and he found the meaning that he was looking for in their faith in Jesus Christ, which took him back to the faith of his childhood. And he found that only faith in Jesus Christ gives meaning. And so this is just one of many examples that could be given of the words that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Come, you who are thirsty, you are hungry, and you are not finding anything that satisfies your thirst and your hunger. Come and buy without money. You've got nothing to bring. You've spent everything, and you haven't been satisfied. Well, come to me. And we know that the God who speaks through the prophet Isaiah is the God who came to us at Christmas, at that first Christmas, in the person of Jesus Christ. And he brings lasting satisfaction. He said, I have come to bring life and life in abundance. And we don't find it anywhere else. In fact, all of those other places we've been looking for meaning and satisfaction, we realize when we come to Jesus that he is the one that our deepest longings have been searching for all along. And so Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus is not just for kids because he brings lasting satisfaction. You might be well into your senior years. You might be very familiar with the search that Tolstoy spoke of. And even now, Jesus, this Christmas, is waiting for you to turn to him to find that satisfaction that only he can bring. Well, Jesus brings satisfaction. Secondly, Jesus brings forgiveness. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah says. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Well, on the one hand, we need pardon, we need forgiveness, whether we recognize it or not, because objectively, our search for meaning, our search for significance, our search to find our identity in things other than God is an offense to God, because he has created us to be his own, to be for his glory, to live for him. And so we, in searching for meaning, in searching for our identity elsewhere, we're turning our backs on God, and the Bible calls this a grave moral evil or sin. And so as a consequence, we experience separation from God, broken relationships, and even breakdown of harmony in the natural world. And we might think, well, a God could just simply overlook this, can't he? But no, not if he's just, not if he is holy. It's like those who say, well, why can't God just do away with all of the evil in the world? The problem with that at the end of the day is that he would have to do away with you and I as well, because we are a part of the problem. And in the same way that serious crimes must be brought to justice in our world, so we, down to the last individual, must face the consequences for turning our backs on God and his perfect rule. And what that means is our eternal separation from him. The Bible calls this the second death or hell. And this is what we deserve, and there's nothing we can do to fix the problem. And the only answer is for God to make a way for us to be forgiven, for our debts to be cleared. And he did this when, at the first Christmas, he sent his son Jesus, named Jesus because he would be the rescuer. He would save his people from their sins, it says in Matthew's gospel. He sent Jesus to deal with this problem that could not be solved any other way. And Jesus gave himself to die in our place as a sacrifice for our sin against God. And through Jesus' death, God's justice was satisfied and his mercy overflowed to us. You might think that Christmas is just a time for goodwill and peace and not thinking about sin, not thinking about judgment and these kinds of themes. And yet, around many, many tables this Christmas, relationships will be revealed to be deeply fractured. Christmas is a time in which wounds, deep wounds, old wounds get reopened. Christmas is actually a time, along with the summer period, in which the divorce rate goes up. There are more divorces over the Christmas period than there are at other times in the year. Because Christmas is a time when people have space to actually come together and fight and argue and go over their old, well-nursed and polished grudges. You see, our relationships are fractured with one another. We've all done things, and some people this Christmas will be faced with the reality that they've cheated. Some will be faced with the reality that they've lied, that they've hurt others. And some of these things, whether they weigh on us particularly at Christmas or not, weigh on our conscience daily, many years later. And you might be sitting here today with a burden like that on your conscience, something you've done that you know you cannot solve yourself, and it just sits there like a burden that can't be moved. And you might look at the children and think, well, wouldn't it be great to be an innocent child once again, to do my life over and not make that great mistake? But the wonderful news about Christmas is it's not just for the kids, it's for all of us who need forgiveness. Jesus came to deal with that burden that you carry that cannot be dealt with any other way. And he did that on the cross at the cost of his own life. He did it for everyone who puts their faith in him. He did it for everyone without exception. And if you come to him today and ask him to forgive you, that burden will be lifted. And even if there are relationships that cannot be mended, your relationship with God, which is the fundamental and most important one, will be completely restored. And you can walk on in your life knowing that you have a great future and that that burden has been taken away by Jesus, who loves you and wants you to be restored into fellowship with God through him. Jesus brings forgiveness for all, whether we are young or old. And third and finally, Jesus brings salvation. And you might think, well, isn't salvation and forgiveness, aren't they really just two of the same thing? But really, salvation includes forgiveness, but it's so much more than just having our debts cleared. Have a listen to Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Forgiveness, yes, but more than that. Hear that throng singing praise to God. They're singing a song of rescue, because that's what salvation means. But it's rescue into a wonderful, abundant, and eternal life of joy, of peace, of prosperity, new creation, new heavens, new earth, new physical bodies, endless joy, freedom, peace, harmony, and relationship. And how does Jesus bring these things to us? Well, he brings them by being both Jesus and Christ, by being both Savior, which is what Jesus means, and King, which is what Christ means, the anointed one who was the king of God's people in the Old Testament and is ultimately revealed to be Jesus, the true and better king whose reign we are under. And so Jesus Christ means Savior and King. And so we see this imagery of the Lamb sitting on the throne, and the Lamb is the imagery from the Old Testament of the Passover Lamb. And through the blood of the Passover lamb, the people were spared from God's judgment that came on Egypt, and they were rescued out through the Exodus. And so the Passover lamb is Jesus, because through his blood we are rescued from the wrath of God that we justly deserve against our sin. But there's more to salvation than having Jesus as our Lamb. He's also our King. And the King brings in the reign of God in all its fullness. The King brought in the reign of God under the Old Testament through kings like David and Solomon, who brought the prosperity of Israel to its zenith. But through Jesus Christ, we have a better, a greater prosperity and a greater fulfillment of all of those promises of God to Israel in the Old Testament. We have this new creation, this new people brought together in a new heaven and a new earth. And so we have Jesus as the Lamb who forgives our sins and sitting on the throne as King who brings in the new age, the kingdom of God, in all of its majesty and glory and endless life. And so Jesus brings salvation, which includes forgiveness, but is much more than that. And so this Christmas, as you look out at the lights around the neighbourhood, or perhaps as you read the news and you think, well, I don't know what's going on in the UK with the new government and Brexit and the polarisation of the political atmosphere around the world, and there's ongoing conflict among the nations, and you wonder, well, does Christmas really answer any of that? Or do I just have to retreat from the world and just spend time in the mystical fantasy world that pleases the kids? No, you don't, because Jesus brings salvation for all who trust him, and he's bringing in a new age that we are invited to be a part of, young and old, together around the throne of God, singing his eternal praises, as we see there in Revelation. So Jesus brings satisfaction, he brings forgiveness, and he brings salvation. So Christmas is not just for kids, because Christmas is about Jesus. And Jesus is not just for the young, he's for the old, he's for everyone. And so in closing, I want to put out a call to us all then to trust in him and follow him this Christmas, no matter your age. And if you're hurting in any of these ways, if you're looking for satisfaction and you're not looking forward to Christmas because it's just going to be another deadening season of mindless and unsatisfying festivity, or if you're not looking forward to Christmas because you're carrying a burden that you know no amount of carol singing and themes of goodwill and peace is going to take away, or if you're not looking forward to Christmas because the frailty of life or the suffering around the world is really grinding you down and you just want to crawl away into a quiet place in your own home and avoid everybody, can I call you, at least, no matter how you choose to celebrate Christmas, which is entirely up to you, to celebrate Jesus, because he brings the answer to all of these challenges, all of these burdens and hurts that any of us are carrying today. Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus brings life in all of its fullness to all of us. Let me just close with a few passages from Jesus himself now. He says, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He says, "I have come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to set the oppressed free." And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May we trust in him this Christmas, no matter our age. Amen.